The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. WNYC Studios is supported by the Natural Resources Defense Council. Using science, the law, and people power, NRDC is committed to confronting the climate crisis, protecting public health, and safeguarding nature. They address the impact of fossil fuels on communities and our environment. They help protect wildlife, public lands, and irreplaceable ecosystems that all living things depend on. They work to enact policies for clean air, clean water, and access to nature for all. You can help NRDC safeguard the Earth for future generations. Visit nrdc.org/WNYC for more information.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Summer has more or less arrived. And so to close the show, we'll turn to someone who took the most profound satisfaction in just being outdoors, the late poet Mary Oliver. Oliver found meaning in the smallest details of the natural world, from geese to crabs to insects to her own dogs, and she turned to animals and to wildness for inspiration. And that close attention to nature made Mary Oliver one of the most beloved poets of our time. Here's Mary Oliver reading from The Summer Day in 2012 at the 92nd Street Y in New York City.
Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me. What else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
Mary Oliver died in January at 83. Not long ago, a big volume of her poetry was published called Devotions that selects from more than 50 years of her work. Ruth Franklin wrote about the book for The New Yorker. Here's Franklin speaking in 2018 with David Haglin, the features editor of NewYorker.com.
Ruth, I'm curious, when did you first read Mary Oliver's work? And do you remember whether you liked her work right away or did it take a while?
You know, I don't have a distinct memory of the first time. I did have a boyfriend in college who was a big fan of Mary Oliver and pressed her on me, so I'm suspecting that must have been it. You know, I've always been sort of an on and off reader of poetry. Sometimes I go through phases where I'm in the mood for it and others where poetry in general speaks to me less. There, I did always respond to just the directness of her approach. It feels so immediate and sort of focused on you as the reader.
It's so unguarded, mm-hmm. I think. There's something, and I admit that for me, I sometimes, it sort of takes me aback. It's not what I'm used to with poetry. One of my favorite poets is Wallace Stevens, who once said that poetry should resist the intelligence almost successfully, which is just not at all her approach, I don't think.
Yeah, in general, I think that is what makes her work so almost universally appealing, is that, you know, you don't feel like you need to have a degree in poetry in order to understand Mary Oliver.
Although that's also maybe why she hasn't gotten the critical acclaim that you might expect from a writer who's won. She has won some very big prizes,
right,
and is enormously popular as poets go. But there is a kind of looking down one's nose at her from some critics, maybe. I don't know if you'd put
definitely
it that way.
You know, I think of them as sort of more academic poetry critics, you know, who are more interested in a kind of hermetic, almost coded kind of poetry.
Do you think that she's very frank about her interest in God and in prayer, and, you know, for a particular kind of secular critic, maybe that's off-putting as well?
Yeah, I think it probably is. I mean, as in the poem we just heard, This Summer Day, there's this, you know, sort of introduction to the poem where we have a nature scene with a grasshopper. One nice detail that I read somewhere in an article about her, I don't remember where now, is that there was a real grasshopper that she used as a model, as it were, for that poem. The grasshopper was eating a slice of birthday cake at a picnic, I think. And it seemed important to her, as she explained it, that the grasshopper was, in fact, a real grasshopper drawn from the natural world. So we have this little scene, and then there's an abrupt switch in the middle of the poem, and suddenly she starts talking about prayer. But, of course, you know, if you're familiar with Mary Oliver, you know that that's in the background more or less all the time.
The Summer Day is typical of her work in another way, in that it's largely about the natural world. And at least for me, living in New York City, it does feel like a window into a kind of side of life that I maybe don't get to enjoy as often as I would. And I wonder if, to some extent, people kind of feel like opening a collection of Mary Oliver is like taking a walk outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think if Mary Oliver were here with us, she would probably scold you for saying that, because, of course, it's quite possible to experience the natural world even here in New York City. You know, you can go to Central Park in the migration season and see all the different waterfowl and warblers and everything passing through. But you're right that, and I think, you know, that that's something her poetry kind of exhorts the reader to do, is to find, you know, find that moment of beauty in nature, if it's, you know, if we can call it the sublime or the spiritual or just something we might not have noticed. You know, what does she say? Attention is the beginning of devotion. That her poetic method, as she presents it, is very much about that kind of directed attention, which presumably one could experience anywhere.
Let's give the last word to Mary Oliver. Here she is reading another one of her poems, Mornings at Blackwater.
For years, every morning, I drank from Blackwater Pond. It was flavored with oak leaves and also, no doubt, the feet of ducks. And always it assuaged me from the dry bowl of the very far past. What I want to say is that the past is the past, and the present is what your life is, and you are capable of choosing what that will be, darling citizen. So come to the pond, or the river of your imagination, or the harbor of your longing, and put your lips to the world and live your life.
Mary Oliver reading Mornings at Blackwater. Oliver died this past January, and we heard Ruth Franklin and The New Yorker's David Hagelin talking about her work.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.